singing, I love you, Lord, I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord, singing, I singing, I love you, Lord, I love you.
We've gathered here this morning to worship Him and to express our love to Him. Some of you look like you're still asleep. So this morning, let's sing a little song, maybe help get our eyelids open. It says, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Oh yes, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, yes, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. And I trust that you can sing that this morning as a testimony in your life that He has made me glad. If you're still look like the donkey that's chewing on briars and gritting your teeth and look like you're in misery this morning, we don't have to. It's by our choice, because He came to set us free. And the little song talks about the hallelujah side. And you know, when we surrender all of our lives to Him and we say, I want you to come in, be Lord of Lords, King of Kings in my life, not just, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the week, sometimes we just say, well, I've got this drawer in the chest of drawers and that's where I keep God. No, He wants all of us. We just give, another song says, give them all, give it all to Jesus. And this morning, if you've done that, I believe you can sing it like this. I was once a sinner, far from Jesus. I was perishing with cold, but the blessed Savior heard my cry. We were lost. We were looking for something. You know, I work with a man. He claims he's a Christian. He's a Catholic. Very, very miserable man. But he's searching for something, and he's not found it where he's at. And you know, I believe all of us at one point, we were looking for something. There was a void, as we've heard the message that said, the deep, calling to the deep. There was something inside of us that was searching for something, and I'm thankful that He supplied. And if you're still in that situation this morning, He said, behold, I'm standing at the door, and I knock. As the song says, the Savior heard my cries, then He threw His robe around me, led me to His fold. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and now I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. The sun is always shining, the sky is always bright. It's no place for gloomy Christians to abide, for our soul is filled. You know, if you find in your Christian walk that your soul's not filled, that means you're not eating. You got to get back to the well. and he will fill your cup to overflowing. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Yes, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Amen. And I trust this morning you are on that overcoming side, the hallelujah side. For activities today, there's a lot of things that's going on. At 1 o'clock, the softball, that's going to be the staff versus the campers. So stay out of the way of the wheelchairs, the walkers, and all that. But 1 o'clock, we're going to have softball. Of course, we play that on the softball diamond. And then volleyball will be staff versus campers. That's going to be out here at the outside court. Leonard, is it? Oh. Okay. So you all can play volleyball. For those of you that don't want to go to the softball game, you can go over and play volleyball outside at the outside court at 1 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, well, that's just the play. That's not going to play the geriatric team. That's only for them to play if they want to play volleyball out there. 2 o'clock is crafts in the gym. They're doing a sand art today. Or cafeteria. Well, I can't read today. All right, so in the cafeteria, they're going to do a craft at 2 o'clock. That's going to be the sand art. There will be volleyball in the gym and basketball in the gym. And then also there'll be Bible trivia, and that's going to be over here at the Little Tabernacle. And then they're also going to be doing hair clinics. So don't get confused and get in the wrong line. So there's going to be a Bible trivia over there and then hair clinic in that the younger group's building at 2 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, it'll be the volleyball with the staff versus the campers. So the geriatric team will be there, and that'll be in the gym. So be there at 3 o'clock to cheer your team on. Also, outside, there'll be Ultimate Frisbee at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, where are you going to be? Well, you all are asleep this morning. I know it was a short night. I understand. The clock went fast. All right. And those of you that have done crafts, your artwork, be sure you pick that up. I don't want to pack it. I still have kites. Some campers made kites last year. I still have kites. None of them fly. We've tried them all. They don't fly. But I still got your kites. All right. And some of you have been asking about T-shirts. And so we do have those over in the cafeteria. So if you did check a box on your registration about what size you want to go buy your shirt right away, because we just ordered exactly what you all told us that you wanted, and we didn't order extras. So if Grandma's here and she buys up all the size extra large smalls T-shirts, then we won't have any for the rest of you. So don't delay on those, because we just ordered exactly what you all said you wanted, so that I don't have to pack them away this year and have extras in storage. So those are the announcements for today. I'll mention those again later, and thankful for all that went on. Yesterday, we had, as we mentioned yesterday morning, we had somebody at the ER, and we had somebody at the ER again last night, but the Lord's faithful, and they're back with us, and so we're just thankful that the Lord has moved on their behalf, and thankful. And I know we've got some sewer backup problems this morning. The plumber's supposed to be on the way, so we'll work through those things this morning and trust all will be well. So this morning, as I said, I can tell you all are struggling to get woke up this morning. So we're going to try to do a little calisthenics. I saw that there was a group yesterday. They were doing a workout. And so this morning, we'll just do a little morning worship workout, okay? Remember, how many of you ever heard of a guy named Daniel? You ever remember that? See, Daniel, he did a workout. What did he do every morning? He went and he exercised, opened the windows. Remember? He went and prayed. All right, so this morning we'll do a little exercise this morning. We're going to do hallelujah, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. So you all kind of got your, it's easier over here because the chairs are softer. Okay, so, but I think maybe you all got it down. You all learned the words, and so we'll let you do the hard part first. The praise ye the Lord. Remember, you only stand when you sing your line, and then you guys sit down. Okay, all right, so you sisters, let's see how awake you are. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wake up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Okay. Y'all got that down pretty good, so everybody can sit down. And, you know, when you do a workout, you don't just start, you know, really into it. You kind of got to ease into it. Otherwise, tomorrow, you'll be aching. Like, if I went out there and played football, the last time I played football with some boys, I did not stretch and warm up, and I couldn't walk for a week afterwards. Okay, so I don't want that to happen to you. So that we just kind of warming it up slow. So, all right, we're going to speed it up a little bit more. All right, we're going to let you do the hallelujahs because I know your jaws are getting tired already. Okay, all right. Because the girls, they talk more, so they can say more words. All right, okay. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord. All right, now I think we can do it a little bit faster and everybody can get woke up. All right. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord. 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 And as we mentioned, Daniel doing his morning prayer, and he'd open those doors even though they'd said, don't do it. And I believe in your lives, you have that determination. Going to serve the Lord no matter what comes my way. I have a determination. And then the little song says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And we found there in the testimony of Daniel, he was faithful even to the lion's den. And sometimes we're going to face things. It may not be a physical lion's den, but we all will go through a trial because every child of God gets tested. I teach at a college, and I got to thinking about something the other day. You know, when I give an exam, and the students are going through a test, the instructor's still there, but he's quiet. And you know, sometimes in our Christian walk, when we take a test, sometimes we think, was the Lord there? He's always there. But he's just sitting there waiting until we get the test done. This morning, no matter where you are, may we be instruments in his hand, just as Daniel was. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And as his word comes forth this morning, may our hearts say yes, Lord, to what you've sent to us this morning. May we grow in God's word. And the little chorus says, I want to be pleasing to you. And as this morning, as you know, when we sing, there's different kinds of songs that we sing. Some songs, they're a song of declaration. You know, I'm declaring about my Lord. But then there's others where we just talk to him and we say, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be that bride without spot or wrinkle. You know, he gave us a lot of different stories in the scripture. Talks about how we're working in a harvest and he's looking for workers. And as a Christian, we want to be working as he has admonished us to do. And as this little chorus says, I want to be pleasing. Want to be pleasing to you in everything I do. Be pleasing to you and praying. Let everything I pursue be pleasing, O Lord, unto you. I want to be pleasing. Let me be pleasing, Lord, to you in everything. may that be our heart this morning. I'll say yes to your word. You can be seated this morning. I believe, Jonah, you got a song this morning? You got a song for us? All right, he's coming to sing.
Test. Y'all sing it if y'all know it.
My hope is in him. You know, when we went to school as a little child, we learned about absolutes. You know, first grade, you was 2 plus 2, and sometimes you'd put down 3. And then finally you learned 2 plus 2 is always 4. Never changes. You know, and we live in a world that they want to tell you that there are no absolutes. Everything is relative. For those of you that are in high school, and some of you may be considering college, you know, they want to tell you that everything is relative. But you know, there are absolutes. And all the way back there to kindergarten, first grade, you learned 2 plus 2 is always 4. We have another absolute in life. That's our Heavenly Father. As he just sung, my hope is in him. He's our absolute. You're going to find people that are going to tell you that the Bible is relative. It's not an absolute. See, God told us. He gave himself to us in the form of a book. So if God is an absolute, his word is an absolute. So we can take his word. We don't have to doubt it. Because there's going to be people that will come your way and they will try to tell you, well, you know, this story in the Bible is not really the way it, you know, somebody kind of made that up. But you know, I found his word is an absolute. And we can take it. As we talked about yesterday, we mentioned about faith, having our faith anchored. And we can put our faith in what he says in his word. You know, there's a man here on the campground this week. He was listening to a tape of the Messenger of Our Day that preached this sermon many years ago. And he's doing a prayer line. And he says, you there with those wires coming out of your ears, the Lord heals you. Well, this man was out. He was listening. I know y'all don't know what this is, but it's called a Walkman. And it was fancy because you'd wear it on your belt and it had a cassette tape in it and it would play it. And he had this on his belt, and he was jogging, and he had earbuds in. Now think about it. Brother Brandon preached this sermon in 1957. Do you think they had wireless earbuds in 1957? No. But Brother Branham said, you with those wires hanging out of your ears. And as he's jogging, he says, I'm claiming that. He got home, and the next day he thought, I don't have any more symptoms. The Lord healed him. You know, so we can put our faith in God. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to question. There'll be plenty that'll come and they'll say, well, you know, question this, question that. But remember, God's word is always true. Don't ever doubt that. His word is always true. He is the perfect one. And we're thankful for that this morning, that we serve a heavenly Father who's mindful of us. There was only one lamb that was found worthy. You know, there's many religions around the world. We can go to one country and they got a white stallion standing next to a tomb. They're convinced that their leader is going to come out of that grave, get on that stallion. And they've been doing this. I don't know how many horses have died, but they still do it today. But you know, there's only one that arose. Christ our Lord. Amen. You get your song. I take
the time to pray. You and I can conquer whatever comes my way. When I start my day with you, Lord, there's nothing I can't do. Although sometimes the tempter tries to bring me down, when I go to you in prayer, I know you'll meet me there. And I can make it through the day when I take the time to pray and I start my day with you. When I go to you in prayer, I know you'll meet me there. And I can make it through the day when I take the time to pray and to start my day with you.
Amen. And we start our day with him, just like Daniel did. He threw them doors open. First thing he did, may we never forget that. This morning as we've gathered here and that time of the service for our brother to come to deliver what the Lord has for us this morning, what he wants to speak to us. Let's just give him praise this morning as our brother comes. The little chorus says, oh, how I love him, how I adore him. We've seen him doing great things in our midst, and I believe there's more in store. He's mindful of us this morning. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The
all stand together. Amen. Do you have a need this morning that you know God can meet? Say amen. You just play something softly. We're just going to pray. Lord, as we come before you, Father, we love your presence. We love your word. God, we want it to be more than just tradition or a ritual or a time that we have to meet, Lord. We want it to be a reality. Father, we thank you, God, knowing that you can come in even now and deal with all of our hearts, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, every need that has been lifted this morning, every life, Father, that has been touched. Lord, I know even now, during this portion of the camp, there have been lives touched, Father. God, we just know that you're speaking directly to them. And Lord, this morning, it's again fallen on our lot to speak, Lord, to this wonderful generation. And God, we ask that you would just help us to step aside and Lord, just say what they need, Father. Not what we want or not something to pump us up, Father, but something that would have sustenance in it in life. Father, that's what we've been hearing this week, Lord, and we're so thankful, God, for the word we heard last night. It's still a blessing to our heart. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done, and we ask for strength in body now as you're blessing each service that's going on right now. In thy precious holy name we ask it, in the name of Jesus. And the church says, Amen. God bless you. Amen. It's again good to be back here. And so we're just going to dive right into the Word. If we can, you probably noticed that it seems like I'm talking a little different, and that's because I am. I don't know if I was attacked by your Indiana weather, or, I feel good, except for, I don't know, something's going on up here, but that's all right. Will y'all help me this morning? All right, because I will not let the enemy win. He is not going to take this away from me, and that's the thing. So don't come up and ask me if I'm all right. I'm telling you, I'm all right in the name of Jesus. Amen. I had to get that off my chest. That's all right. Luke chapter 11. I again want to say it was just a wonderful service last night. Amen. Just tore the ground up, and it was just wonderful. And then to see the response afterwards of desiring for more, and I pray that there were life changes last night. And then the worship was just wonderful. Let's just keep it going, brothers and sisters. Amen. So this morning, the Lord has laid upon our heart to just kind of talk to you for a little bit, and we're gonna just talk about maintaining your spiritual walk. And we're going to go through some things that, you know, you could take different ideas and different things maybe that you want to build and that you want to do to help yourself. But these are some of the things that the Lord has laid upon our heart. And because, you know, okay, so the question is, okay, I've been born again. Now what? Now what do I do? You know what I'm saying? And you need to maintain what God is doing in your life. So Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26, it says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house once I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished," or put back in order. "Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I do want to say this, too, that for those that were here yesterday, Message Pete has been set free, and my little daughter Evelyn has now named him something else, so no longer just going through that. So I just wanted to make sure you guys were still here this morning. So as we look at this verse of Scripture, I know this Scripture is speaking about an individual that was cleaned and not filled back up. That is a very important thing. I want to start with that because a lot of times you come and you get yourself all cleaned out and it feels really good, but you don't finish it. And we want to make sure before we get into this that to remind you, you have to make sure that you're fully born again, filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you leave no room for the enemy to come in and to have any ounce of room inside of your life. But I want to start with two things, and normally I have slides for this, but I didn't think that we had the opportunity, but we're just going to kind of go through. In my short time of doing this, I quite often find two groups of people, confessors and questioners, confessors and questioners. And now, I'm all right with you questioning the Word. In fact, I think it's important that you have a desire to know what's in the Word and know what it's speaking about. When I look at the negative side of this questioner, I'm not looking at that part. So the questioner that I'm speaking of is someone who frequently questions or doubts the Word of God. They may seek understanding or clarification, but tend to challenge or scrutinize the teachings, sometimes leading to uncertainty or skepticism. You know, I quite often have found that many people that actually go and they don't go the right way and they're looking for maybe answers in the message, quite often find those people actually walk away from it or trying to prove something. Listen, you don't need to prove this message. It proves itself through your life. And so as we look at this, if we're not careful, we begin to scrutinize. We begin to scrutinize what's coming from across the pulpit or the Word. And then they are often in a state of inquiry, asking questions to deepen their knowledge, but may not yet have fully accepted or affirmed the truth. So that's the definition of the questioner that I'm looking at. And then you have the confessor, someone who openly proclaims, affirms, and stands firmly on the Word of God. They declare their faith and are committed to sharing and defending the truth of God's Word. Now think of them as a person who confidently confesses their beliefs and upholds the teachings of Scripture. Now you can't do that unless you know what the teachings are. So this is not guesswork. There is growth. There is learning. There is studying in this word. And it's not just meant for the ministry. I mean, if the ministry's not doing it, that's a problem for sure. But it wasn't just meant for the ministry to do the only studying. It was also for you in your life. It says, now they may not have all the answers. I'm going to say amen to that. I don't have all the answers. But trust God nonetheless. So you're not going to always have the answer. And Satan loves to trip you up because he's always going to get someone to ask you a question that you're probably not going to know. And then when you don't know that, then you begin to second guess yourself. Hello? You begin to second guess yourself. Now, so we're not here to try to prove anything. We're not here to debate with the enemy. I want to read this from Christ in 55. Brother Branham says, he says, you're not using your own thoughts. You're using his thoughts. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you, see? Think his way of thinking. Say what he says. Confession means to say the same thing. Confess. To confess the same thing, say the same thing. He's just being repetitious here. It says, they then don't confess your own mental conception. Be born again and confess his word. Confess what he said. That's confession. Say, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I have a right by his wounds. Right now, I have a right for salvation. I have a right for the Holy Spirit. He promised it to me. Said, it's in you and your children and them that is afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if we read that, then we have been taught that by confessing his word, it's actually going against ours. That's what he said. Don't confess yours. Confess his. So this is a part of crucifixion. This is a part of your daily life because you live in this flesh. You're constantly in this flesh. And you always, if you're not careful, you begin to confess your own thoughts. You begin to confess it, but the word is telling us here that we've got to confess the word of God and not our own. And then another place he says in the end time seed, he says, Jesus said when he was here, if you have faith like a mustard seed would say to this mountain. Now, why did he refer to the mustard seed? See, the mustard seed won't hybrid. It's genuine mustard seed. It will not take breeding with nothing. He said, otherwise, if you have that much faith, God's word, that won't hybrid to unbelief or question it. Says, oh, I feel religious, that you won't question it. I don't want to question what God's telling me. I don't want to question. Maybe I'm seeking for a better answer, but I don't want to question it. I want to say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I know that you're going to get me through. I might not know what's going to happen next week, but I know that you'll lead me through because you are the one that called me. If he called you, he will be faithful to get you through. Can you say amen to that? It says, no matter what circumstances and anything else, you don't question God's word. You believe it. You're supposed to believe it. Oh, think about this now. If Eve would have only believed it, she would have received, and she'd have brought forth children right. But before her husband got to her, he found her already defiled like Jehovah did and like Jesus had. It says there was a defilement in the womb of her thinking. If you look at this and you go into a lot of the message, there's something about the womb of the mind. How important the womb of the mind is. So this mind, the greatest battle ever fought is here. I mean, even last night, maybe last night everything was wonderful and you went to your dorms and then you laid in the beds. Where did our minds go? Not so much maybe that it was a bad thought, but maybe I would ask the question, how many was attacked by the enemy? Maybe in your mind, it wasn't anything. It was this. You're always going to be the same. What is that? He's trying to get in to the womb of your mind. But if you keep confessing what the word of God says, not what you're saying, not willpower of the flesh, but confessing his word, and don't even argue with the enemy. The enemy wants you to argue with them. Well, you're not called. Well, you're not this, and you're not this. You don't sing this way, or you don't look this way, and you're not this one, and you're not that. That's the enemy trying to get into that mind and weaken you. His goal is to weaken you so much where he can get you. Now, she had accepted a seed of unbelief against God's word because it produced something to her more brighter, and she wanted more knowledge. So the question is, I'm all right with you getting more knowledge, but why? Why are you wanting more knowledge? Is it so you can be better than anybody, so you can out-talk somebody? Or is there something deep inside of your heart, God, I want to know you more? See, first and foremost, you must be delivered and filled with the presence of God. Amen? Confess it, desire it, maintain it. The natural types of spiritual, even new items must be maintained. You can buy a brand new house, and it has to be maintained. If you don't maintain it, it's going to rot away. And so in your spiritual walk, you can come, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but if you don't go home ready to maintain it, you will begin to, it'll begin to fade, and it'll be a harder life. So let's go through a few things, and I'm just trying to get through this quickly if I can. Now, once things have been cleaned out and you're ready in your field, I think one of the biggest important things that the Bible tells us to do, number one, would be to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? So if we could, let's turn our Bibles and let's just read through that. And we're not going to go through all of them. We're just going to focus on one this morning, but I do want to read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the church and in the... Oh, no, that's... No, it said be strong in the Lord. See, I believe that even if you weren't reading it, you knew what it said. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if he's telling us this, it's letting me know that even though I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm doing all the right things, I'm going to be in a battle. I'm going to be in a battle. I'm going to have to fight. I'm going to have to protect myself. Well, I thought that if I receive, no, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life and God is changing you, that does not mean that you're still not, that you're not in this flesh. You're in this flesh and you're fighting against those principalities. Here it is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You say, Brother Jeremy, what does this mean? Well, we're not going to be able to go over all of this, but study it. See what it means. Look into the message of the hour. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Wow. You have got to be able to have perseverance in this. This is not just message couch potatoes. No, this is a battle. This is a battleground. The Bible speaks very well here about wrestling. How do you win? To me, how do you win in a wrestle match? It's not always the biggest guy. It's about pressure points. And so if the enemy begins to put pressure on your life in areas that you know you're weak in, that's what he's going to do. So it's not always that knockout punch, right? But there's something about finding those pressure points in your life. That's why you need to make sure that everything is guarded in your life. And you're still going to have to fight. You're still going to have to go through things. Now, if we would, just for the sake of time, I want to pay special attention to the helmet of salvation for the guarding of your thought life. Most demons seeking to re-enter are going through your thoughts. So become watchful of any thoughts that can be considered negative. See, they are from the enemy. Separate their thoughts from your own. No negative thoughts got to enter. Refuse the thoughts they give you and replace them with positive spiritual thoughts. You actually have that authority. You have the authority to rebuke those negative thoughts and place them with positive thoughts of the Word of God. And I'm not speaking of mind over matter here. Don't take that into a psychological idea. No, I'm talking about the Word of God truly being active. If dealing with this mind was not important, then why would God give the prophet that thought, the greatest battle ever fought? There is something to this. And so then you can tie the scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You know what it is, but let's read it. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Now, maybe you haven't, but I've got to a point in my own mental thoughts where I read this scripture and I said, I don't even know of anything to think of. I can't find anything true, anything honest, because I was so overwhelmed with the circumstance that I could not see the word through the eyes of God. And I had to say, God, would you come in and would you change how I'm reading this? Would you change this? Would you help me? It's all right to ask God for help. You don't have to prove that you can do this on his own. He never intended you to do this. It's like a young person, and I remember being this way. Like we were having to prove that we could make our own way and do these things. No, God wants to help you. It's okay to ask for help. In fact, he wants it. Resist the devil at the first sign of his attack. And if you resist him at the first sign of his attack, he is commanded to flee. James 4:7 reminds us of this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many can say that's the word? Right? So it's not resisting so much with just, again, willpower, but it's resisting him by the word. So 1 Peter 5:9, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One of the things that Satan really loves to do with people is to make them think that they're on their own, that no one else is going through. And you might not be going through that, but he does a really good job of making you think that you're going this on your own. And that's why I think camp is good, because you come together and you realize, hey, there's other young people, young sisters and young brothers fighting this same fight. So I'm not alone in this. Now, it's not meant that we come together. You know, I think it was 1 year, I went to a Christian school. I think it was fifth grade or sixth grade. Well, the Christian school that I went to just happened to not be a really good Christian school. Now, you know, they tried their best, but, you know, I guess it was just kind of like a really cheap one or something like that. And, if my parents are listening, they're going to think I'm calling them cheap. No, it was just, you know, one of those. Well, what I found out was that all of the bad kids were sent there. The parents thought if we could all get our kids to a Christian school, that it would be better. Listen, it was a bad year. And I happened to be the guy that was always called to the principal's office, which was the pastor. And you say, why? Because you're bad? No, because I knew what was going on. And he knew I would be honest. And so I had to fight that. See, that's not what camp is about. Camp is not about coming here and then getting all of our demons together. But it's coming here and it's getting rid of those demons. It's realizing that I don't need those things anymore. We're not here to get our little clicks and get our little things. And no, we're here to blast that out of the water. We're not here to do those things. No, we're here to say expose those demons and say you have no authority, you have no room in here, and make sure, as we heard last night, that God will do some things to remove friendships out of your life and to remove things out of your life to protect you. It's not God being angry with you. It's God protecting you, because this little vapor of your life is so quick. Listen, it's the eternal that we're looking for. So keep that in mind. I like what Albert Barnes says here. He says, the true way of meeting him is by direct resistance rather than by argument. Speaking of the enemy, we're not here to argue with Satan. So it's to meet him when he comes on our grounds. We meet him with direct resistance by steadfastly refusing to yield in the slightest degree, rather than by a belief that we can either convince him that he is wrong. You can't convince Satan of anything, or that you can return to virtue when we have gone a certain length in complying with his demands. So we're not here to comply with his demands. I'm going to say this very carefully. I've stuck with this my whole life, and I believe in prodigals coming back, but I want to say this. I don't believe we have time for it. You don't have time to run out there and, as they would say, sow the wild oats and come back. Don't even think those thoughts. You cannot think, well, that this person came back, and so maybe I can. No, you don't know. You don't know if you'll be able to come back. Don't even think about those thoughts. So when he begins to come in and he begins to tell you, well, you know, the reason why you have to dress this way, it's nothing but law, it's nothing but legalism, it's nothing but all of these things. No, it's God protecting you. Listen, don't sell yourself short, sisters, for what God has placed in your life. You don't have to do those things. Brothers, don't sell yourself short for what God has for you in your life. Put on the armor of God to protect yourself, not just to be religious, not to have a religious attitude, not to look the part, but to have a real life of maintaining what God is doing for you. No one is safe. No one is safe. Say it with me. No one is safe who yields in the least to the suggestions of the enemy. You're not safe when you do that. So don't give him a second chance. Don't give him a thought. All right, let's move on. Number two, positive confession. Positive confession is very important. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I want us to think about this. Negative confessions characterize a demonic influence. So when our confessions are negative, we're actually being influenced by some sort of demonic spirit. And we might not be in so much giving in to the things of the world, no. But just those thoughts that keep coming. But positive confession is faith expressed. Confess what God's word says, and any other confession will open the door for the enemy. Think about that. When you begin to let the negative win in your own life, you're literally opening the door for the enemy. I know this is simple, but this is about maintaining your walk. When you go home, you've got to maintain that spiritual walk. And I want to say, I don't know how many services you have. Some have two a week, some have one a week, some have three a week. I don't know. But you cannot just live upon whatever services you go to. This is a daily maintenance. This is a daily maintenance with God. Now, Brother Branham in 55 again, he says, now it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of the people. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right there. Well, I can't do what this person can do, and I can't do this. You might think that that's simple. But when you begin to talk that talk, you're actually giving opportunity for the negative to keep building. Instead of just taking what God has called for you to do and giving your all in that. We're not all called for the same thing. We're not all called to the same area. We're not all called to the same town or the same city. We're not all called to the same church. But wherever we're called, we are called to give our all. Whether it's 5 people in the assembly to 30 people or 200, it doesn't matter how the size that it is. As long as you're called there, give your all, and God will help you through that time. But if we're not careful, we begin to look at all of the things around us and all the churches and all we want is that, and we're missing what God can do right now. So you're just talking his language then. He says, you mustn't never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all of my heart. He says, do you believe in divine healing? With all of my heart. I'm going to ask you, do you believe in divine healing? With all of my heart. Do you believe in deliverance? With all of my heart. Do you believe that you are set free? With all of my heart. Do you believe that you're going to make a rapture? With all of my heart. There is not one thing that the enemy can do to rob me of that belief. Let your testimony always and your thoughts, everything, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. And when it starts that, don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that'd be like the farmer that he said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing, see? You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't. I like that he had that 3 times there. Don't entertain them. Just pass it on. No, sir. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God, and I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify of them. Listen, don't ever let anyone squelch your testimony. Don't ever let anybody tell you your testimony is nothing. There is no big or little testimony. If you've been touched by God, it's a great testimony. No matter what it is in your life, it is a testimony that needs to be spoken. And I will tell you, it's not just spoken by the lips, it's spoken by the life that you live. It's getting to a point where I think our testimonies need to be lived more in our local assemblies than anything else. Our local assemblies are so important. We need to live those testimonies to encourage one another. Anymore, it seems like even the local assemblies where we're at, Satan loves to come in and get everybody against everyone and forget our testimonies and forget what God has done. Let's get back to saying, thank you, Lord. If not for grace, I wouldn't be here. I need to maintain this. I need to maintain this because I recognize that Satan is going to allow something to pop up. And God will allow this to happen. It's like testing us. It's a part of keeping our strength and keeping us going. He will allow things, Brother Branham talked about, allow things to come up in a church. He'll permit friends to turn against you, right? Family to turn against you. All of those things will happen, but that doesn't mean run. Stand upon the word of God. We weren't called to jump from this to this to this. Stay with the word. Stay with where God has called you. And God can only bless you as you confess that he has done it for you. See, he's the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3, he said that he's the high priest of our confession, and he can only do for us as we accept it. Oh, my. Do you realize how much he wants to do for you? Well, I don't even think that we could fathom, Brother Craig, how much God wants to do for us. Notice he said that again. I'm sorry, but that just jumped out at me. He can only do for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. All you have to do is accept it, believe it. Oh, it's easy. I can easily accept it for you. Oh, I know he can do it for you. This is the easy thing, right? We know he can do it for someone else. But we have been somehow convinced that it can't happen to me. How have we been convinced that it can't happen to me? No, his word says it can, but you've got to accept it for yourself. I can't accept it for you. I could lay my hands on you and pray with you and pray for you. But if you don't accept it, it does not matter how much we pray, how many brothers get around you and pray and anoint you with oil. Unless you have faith for yourself, it does nothing. Well, you can see that even in the evidence of Brother Branham and his ministry in prayer lines. They had to accept it. No matter how much God was there, they had to accept it. All right? Number three, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself. No, this is just for ministers. No, I believe this is for everybody. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not approved unto man. You're not doing it to try to outwit anybody. You're not to sit across the table from somebody and out-debate them. We're not here to debate this, and I've said it already. Listen, if we're not careful, the message is just one big debate, and we will miss what's going on in front of us because we can't get over the debate from the east to the west to the central to the south to whatever it is. We're all debating all of our convictions and all of our ideas, and we're actually missing the very life. And we're allowing young people to die, and we're allowing our friends to die because all we're worried about is trying to prove our point. No, I'm not here to prove my point. I don't even want to do that for you this morning. I just want to give you the word. I want it to be life to you, and I want you to accept it, and I want you to take it. And if maybe I say something that doesn't seem right, well, then pray for me. What happened to that? What happened to praying for people? You know, when maybe something might not just go the way we think it is, instead of just like I did to the bird yesterday. How many remember that? I did for all of a sudden, just right there. Turned off in a church service. Huh. How many times have we been turned off in a church service? See, Satan knows exactly what gets to us. And you know, oh my. Okay, we're going to say it. You know, God might allow something to be said to shake you, to catch your attention, and maybe just go against what you believe. What are we going to do about that? Well, take it back to the Word. Take it back to the Word and see what does the Word say about it. Not what is my thoughts, you know, because if we're not careful, we begin to take what this one says and what this one says. You ever played that old telephone game? I know, I'm probably speaking my age. How many's ever played the telephone game? Can somebody, I mean, so if we've done that, what usually happens by the time we get down to the end of it? It's different. Why? Because it's what the one person heard. It was what they perceived. They said, and then because their mind thinks different than this one, though it might have started right and in the right and no error in it, but by the time it got down to the very end, something changed. Right? And it's just our idea of it. There's another one. Maybe you've played this one before too, where you take a piece of paper and you have a design on that paper and you line all the boys up in a row, and then they would all have that paper on their back. On the person's back in front of them, and the one over here actually has the design, and they start to draw the design on the back of that individual, and then as they're doing it, this individual is drawing what they think is being drawn, not on their back, on a piece of paper, just so y'all know that. And by the time you get down to the end, it's completely different than the beginning, because it's just our perception of it. And if we're not careful, that's what our religion becomes. It's just what someone said here and what someone said here. And we actually ourselves never took it back to the Word. We never stayed in the Word ourselves. And so we don't really know what it is. And then we build our whole family around the idea that it should be this way. And it might be wrong. And then we go to a camp and God allows something to be said by Brother Craig or by another minister. And it completely shakes everything we thought we knew. But if we're not careful, we won't go to the Word. Right? So we want to make sure that we don't do that. See, we've seen Jesus say, "It is written," pointing to what? The Word, when he was buffeted by Satan, right? Then what does the Word do? The Word then gives you direction, right? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if we're not into the Word, are you still with me this morning? I'm not taking too long yet, right? It's not lunchtime, we're good. So if I'm not into the Word, then I'm not being directed correctly. Then I'm going to go back to what I said yesterday. Then we go back to just being to our feelings. I feel led. I feel led. I feel led. Well, what does the Word say about it? I don't know. I feel led. Well, if we're not careful, if we're not in the Word and we don't know the author of it, we have a feeling all right, because that demon is, Satan is a, you know, he's a supernatural power. Hello? And it sure feels like God, and it feels like the right thing. Like we've heard before, he don't mind you going to church. He don't mind you doing these things. He just is going to, you know, not let you go so far. So we have a lot of feeling leads, but do we have direction? So what does this Word do? It gives us direction, and then it also is for growth. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Well, Brother Jeremy, I'm not a baby anymore. Listen, I don't know about you, but I still like to drink milk. Okay. Whew. I didn't say that that's all I did. I will eat a steak too. But it doesn't mean I'm going to get rid. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics. We think that we need to be in Revelation chapter 10, and yet we need to go back to, maybe 1 Corinthians 12, or we need to go back to love, and we need to go back to loving one another and praying with one another before we can even get to Revelation chapter 10, which is really simple in itself. All right, so number 4, crucifixion of the flesh. Ooh. That still has to happen? Mm-hmm. Listen, don't let anyone tell you that if you get the Holy Ghost, you're never going to go through those things again. You will fight them. And I might even shake somebody here. You might even fall every now and then. You might trip up. But you're not going to have a life of it anymore. Your life is not there anymore. I mean, I get it. There are some people that, man, they are just the most perfect people in this message. Bless God for them. I'm telling you what, man, that's wonderful. But, you know, I have made mistakes since being filled and since having his presence in my life. But the Bible tells us that I have to crucify this flesh daily. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So what are we doing there? So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you've given your life to him, you're still living in this old flesh, right? This old coat. And so because of that, then you now have a power on the inside to help you begin to break those old habits. Because without realizing it, though you desire to do the right thing, if you don't dive into this word, if you don't allow that Holy Spirit to change you, you will begin to revert back to the old habits. So we've got to begin to break up those old habits that set up league with evil spirits. Like if fleshly appetites, desires, and lusts are not brought to the cross, if they're not brought to the cross, a way of demons to return will be left open. So you need to take those things that you know are working on you and eating at you and weakening you. You need to yourself take them and nail them up. Get rid of them. See Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. So this crucifixion of the flesh is an ongoing, active process requiring perseverance. There's this word perseverance again. You know, sometimes it might just be the tongue. I think that's a big thing in the message. I'm speaking to the young people, right? I'm not worried about anybody else out there. Luckily, I can't hardly see anybody. It's the tongue that needs to be crucified. It needs to be brought under subjection. Because it sure is easy to say things, right? Success in this area results in a life characterized by the fruits of the Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, right? And they that are Christ's true believers, I like what Wesley says here, and they that are Christ's true believers in Him have thus crucified the flesh, nailed it, as it were, to a cross whence it has no power to break loose, but is continually weaker and weaker. Notice what he says there. It's weaker and weaker with its affections and desires, all its evil passions, appetites, and inclinations. I like what he said there. So you take that and you nail it to the cross, and it cannot get itself off of there. And it begins to weaken in your life. So you may still have that thing come right at you next week. But if you've nailed it daily and you put it up there and you allow that thing to weaken little by little in your life. Listen, I believe there are times that God comes in and He completely removes it. I believe that. But there are other times too where you've got to work with it. Say, God, help me. God, help me. I don't want to think those thoughts. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, right? So we're trying to hurry along here. So again, this is very important that we've got to crucify the flesh daily. And this takes discipline. This takes a lot of discipline. This is not just easy that you can't just walk in and say, I'm going to do it. No, this takes a disciplined life. Listen, no true athlete or star, Tiger Woods didn't become Tiger Woods without his discipline. Now, he might have talent, but if he didn't, if you go and you look back and see, maybe I should ask this, you might not know who Tiger Woods was or is, but he was a golfer, one of the greatest in my mind, because that's all I know. But he did not get there without endless hours. I mean, how many golf balls did he have to hit? How many constantly, and how many times did he have to fail, right? But he never gave up. Well, now, if we're not careful, we think, well, because I was born into a message church, that I'm just going to be, okay, so Tiger Woods had a son. Well, you know, maybe because Tiger Woods had a son, maybe his son just thought, I'm going to just be right there, and I'm going to do exactly the same thing. But you know what? He hasn't. You know, maybe he didn't have the practice that his dad had. I'm not saying he's not going to be good, but you see, you can't go in off of your parents' experience. You know, you might be Tiger Woods' son, but you need to go in there and you need to take the same time that he took. You need to go through the same repetitions that he took. You need to go through the same fight and the same loss and the same determination and the same discipline to become what my dad was. And it's the same thing now. I cannot just come in off of my pastor's experience. You might have the greatest pastor in the world. Praise God that you do. But you're not going to go into heaven saying, well, I was under Pastor so-and-so. Or my mom and dad was this and this. No, you've got to have your experience for yourself, and you've got to be disciplined to be able to run this race. Paul knew this when he talked about running that race. He knew that they had to be disciplined, and he knew that they had to practice and that they had to work hard to get into that position. And it's the same with us. This takes discipline. You're not just going to go back to your room and sit there and go, okay, now what? Let's just let it happen. No, there's going to be a disciplined life. You're going to change. You're going to go, I've got to clean my room. I've got to make sure there's no spirits in here. I want to pray. You say, well, I live in a home that of unbelievers. That's all right. God will protect you. You might even live in a home with the believers, and it might not have a really good spirit in there. All right, God will protect you. Listen, we have no excuse. There is no excuse. If God calls you, it doesn't matter if your parents are the worst of the worst. God will get you through. They're the best of the best. God will get you through. It does not matter, but do you trust Him to get you through? So it's going to take discipline in your life. No one ever got to what they got to without discipline. Number five, you really need to develop. This takes developing a life of praise and prayer. It's a development. It's something that's not, yeah, we praise and we praise from our heart, but how many's ever thought, I don't even know what to pray? I've thought that. I don't know what to pray. That's all right. You get on your knees and it begins to come. Lord, I just want to draw closer to you. Sometimes prayer is not always, I need, I need, I need. Prayer sometimes, and I think most of the time, should be, Lord, I thank you. In fact, I think our prayer should always start with thanksgiving and worship first, before we go into the other things. And you see, before you know it, you might not say, well, I might not be able to pray like Brother So-and-so. They can pray 2 hours. Okay, praise God. Develop it for yourself. Listen, what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Remember, we quoted this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I like it. He's very detailed again, you, so that doesn't leave you out. So praise silences the enemy. If you've really ever been in a true praise and worship mode, you weren't thinking about those negative thoughts. How many knows what I'm talking about? Last night, for instance, I don't know, maybe if it wasn't a show and you were really praising God with all of your heart, you weren't thinking about all the bad things. You were actually thinking about what God had been doing, and you didn't want to stop, because you know when you stop, guess what? You got to go back to those battles, right? You have to go back to those things. And so what did it do? It's like, I got to keep praising Him. I want to keep praising Him. And then so you left here, and you kept a praise in your heart. So what is this doing? This is developing. This is developing prayer. And then before you know it, you could be on your job. You could be working at Chick-fil-A. You could be working at McDonald's. You could be working at Walmart. You could be digging a ditch. You could be digging tunnels. That's what I used to do. You could do all those things. And then all of a sudden, something strike your heart. And be like, Lord, I don't know what it is, but there's Lord, I pray, God, whatever the need is, Lord, I just give it to you. You might not know what it is or who it's coming from or whatever it is, but if you're in tune with Him, pray without ceasing. That means your heart's constantly in tune to Him. It's not, I believe in your prayer closets, but it's not just waiting to get to that prayer closet. That's important. You got to have a prayer closet. And you say, well, I don't even have a closet. That's not what we're talking about. That's a terminology of you got to get away. You got to separate yourself from the world and from daily life. You got to find whatever that is, whether you go out into the woods or if you don't have woods and you're living in the desert, maybe not go out in the desert at 100 degrees. Find a good place, but pray. Get in tune to God with what He has. Praise silences the enemy. Praise is not just an attitude of the heart, but praise is the expression unto God of thankfulness, adoration, and joy. That's why Satan wants to try to rob that praise. He wants to try to squelch that praise. Just like coming into church sometimes, you didn't always feel like raising your hands. You didn't always feel like clapping your hands or singing or whatever it was. You didn't feel like that. Why? Satan had maybe put something on your life. You were tired or whatever it is. Listen, that's just what the enemy wants to do. And I get it. We all praise differently. But as long as we give our heart to Him, it has nothing to do about anyone watching me. It has nothing to do about what anyone says. God, some people praise more outward expression and some are just quiet and they lift their hands. And I say, Lord, whatever it is, I just want to praise you. I want to give. So this is a development. You develop this. And Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here it is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, our prayers do not need to be prayed by anxious feelings. I don't want to come to God with an anxious feeling, with fear. But our prayer, listen, that's not what, but confidence in his sovereignty. Lord, I don't know what's in store, but I'm coming to you because I trust you. I trust you. I trust in your sovereignty. He desires to know your need. He desires to help. He wants to do those things. Ezekiel 36, 37 says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with the men like a flock. The sovereign Lord says, I will once again let the Israelites ask me for help. I will let them increase in numbers like a flock. So he wanted to know what they wanted. He wanted to hear from them, and he wanted to give increase. That's what he wants to do for you. He wants to give you increase of his word. That's the love of God for you. And when we think of increase, don't just think of natural things and natural money. Listen, if we don't have the word in our heart increased, it can become stagnant. I don't want that. Number six, develop a life of fellowship and spiritual ministry. This is very important and part of our maintenance. We need to have proper fellowship. We need to be careful that we're not drawn away by those friends of the world. They may be nice and they may be, you might have a great conversation with them, but I would start being concerned when we're actually having better conversations with worldly ones than we are our own. It could mean that our spirits are aligning, and that's not good. So what we want to do is, Lord, help me to develop a life of fellowship and spiritual ministry. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So if it was important to still be in Acts 2, that they continued in the doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers, I think it's important for us to maintain and to develop a proper fellowship. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think this is the day that we should be very concerned about coming together and worshiping right. You say, well, Brother Jeremy, you know, I don't think it's necessary. If it's in the word, it's necessary. You see, it is the sheep that wanders from the flock that is the most endangered. If he can get you isolated, get you pulled away from the flock, get you thinking that no one cares for you. Listen, it's not about if we're always waiting on a text message or if we're always waiting on a phone call, if we're always waiting on a handshake, we're waiting on the wrong things. You've got to love God enough to know that he's going to get you through. Do you love him enough to know that he is going to get you through? You may never receive a text message. You may never receive a phone call. You may never get a Facebook message or whatever it is. But God said he would never leave nor forsake you. You need to make sure that you're not always looking to the flesh. God, I want that spirit to be fulfilled. Find and fulfill your function within the body of Christ. God has a function for you in the body of Christ, a body fitly joined together. Desire spiritual gifts and yield to their operation through you within the body of Christ. They're still active in the church, but it's not for you to be a show. It's to use for God's glory. Amen. How many says, I want wisdom? That's part of it, brothers and sisters. So these things are very important. So for Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, you have been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I think that's important. Amen. So we have to have a love-driven service. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're using these gifts for others and not just for ourselves. I think sometime you can write it down. You should read 1 Corinthians 12. This should help explain that a little bit more. Last one, number seven, I think this is important. Be totally committed to Christ. When you have been filled and you're sold out, you need to be totally committed to him, because Satan will try to bring something in your life to get your commitment off track. It could be your job. Listen, we don't need to be ran by our job. We need to trust God that if he calls us to an area, he will be faithful to take us through. I see too many people that are being ran by the natural over the spiritual. And I'm encouraging young people to not to be ran by that. Be ran by the Word of God, and He will take care of you. So determine that every thought, word, and action will reflect the very nature of Christ. Abide in Christ. As we know, Christ alone is our theme this year. Abide in Christ, that the fruit of the Spirit might come forth in abundance. Demon spirits are enemies of that fruit. Faith and trust in God is the greatest weapon against those devil's lies. So we cannot allow the enemy to wither our fruit. We've got to maintain it, and we've got to protect it with authority. Don't be afraid. God's given you the authority to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't have to think those thoughts. I don't need to get to." And you know those things that start dragging you down. You know those negative thoughts that try to start coming in. Don't allow them to come in. Last quote says, "Now notice, when this great moving power of God comes into a son of God, it quickens him. The Spirit of life enters into him. Then what does it do? It seats them in heavenly places right now. Not they will be, we are now." Now we've already resurrected. The dynamics and the mechanics is gone to work, quickened us, and we're quickened up into the presence of God where His Spirit is, and now we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, sitting there. That great seat that's already fired up, been raised from the dead, and we're a part of it. Are you a part of that this morning? Are you a part of it this morning? If you're a part of the bride, you are, because the bride is a part of the groom, you know. So we find out that's the same thing. She'll do just exactly what's predicted for her to do in this day. She won't be a Laodicea, not by no means lukewarm, but she'll be on fire for God. She'll be moving on in the Spirit of God. So we might have the Spirit all around us, but we are not Laodicea, and we're not lukewarm. No, there is a fire in this generation that says, "I don't even care what my friends do. If they want to go that way, let them go that way." But there's something inside of my heart that says, "God, help me maintain this spiritual walk." You don't have to be ran by the work. You don't have to be ran by your school. You don't have to be ran by all of those things. You can be ran by the Word of God. And He'll help you through all of those avenues of your life. I know this was simple this morning, but I want you to be able to take what you're hearing this week, go home, and be disciplined with it. Don't expect anyone to do it for you. You've got to be disciplined. Do you love God enough to be disciplined with His Word this morning? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. They'd come to the music. Our heads are bowed. I just want that to be something in our life, in our heart. God, there's more to this life than what I've been doing. There's more to this life than a job or a spouse. This life is the greatest life there is to live. And it's hard to see it when you're focused so much on all of the waves around you. Don't let that anxiety come in. Don't let that fear come in. Don't let those things, right where you are right now. You might not even know how you're going to handle a situation, but don't worry about it. Trust God, and He'll get you through it. I'm going to ask you again, how many in your heart can you say, "I trust Him"? I do, Brother Jeremy. I trust Him. I don't always see it. I don't always have the answers, but I trust Him. And that trust takes discipline as well. Because sometimes that trust, you know, we are seeking an answer, and we're seeking a specific answer, and it doesn't always go that way. Well, that doesn't mean He hates you or that you are wrong. It just means I'm trying to protect you from this route. Trying to protect you from this way. That's why we're not on you. We're not beating you down. You know, when we talk about, you know, like how we're looking or how we're presenting ourselves, we just want to make sure you know you got to protect yourself. The enemy is going to do whatever he can to weaken your relationship with God. So our prayer life, all of these things need to be maintained. God, help me to be disciplined to maintain this. That's my heart's desire. Lord, I pray that you just take this simple thought this morning and that it would just resonate in our hearts. And God, if there's anything set out of the way, Lord, I pray that, God, you would just work it right through these young people this morning. And God, we're so thankful that you have come and you've delivered a message to us today. Lord, without this message, Lord, we would be so lost. But God, you have shown us the way, and we just want to be so focused upon you. We're about to go and have the activities and fellowship and all those things are wonderful, but Father, we're not leaving you. We want to be so tied to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work such wonderful things for our young people. May their lives just be so in love with you. Father, each father and mother, brother or sister, whoever it is, Lord, may they be so in love with you that nothing could deter them. We thank you for your word this morning. In thy precious holy name, the name of Jesus. And the bride says, amen. Let's try to sing that. Turn your eyes. Is that what it is? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. And before we turn it over, let's just sing it again. Oh, and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Sing that old song, Speak My Lord. Do you want him to continue to speak to you today? Is that all right? Say, Lord, continue to speak to me. We want him to speak to us again tonight. So we turn it to our brother. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Grant it, Father. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Oh, speak, my Lord. God bless you, Brother Doug. Go ahead. Oh, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I.
There are victories to be won every hour by your power. Keep me true. Lord, keep me true. Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true. Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. By your power, keep me true. That's our desire this morning. True to Him. May we walk in the light of His word that we've heard this morning. No matter when the storms come our way, set our affections on things above. Not on the circumstances, the waves around us. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I desire is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. May that be our desire. Lord, live in me, live through me. My desire to be what He wants me. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. I've been cleansed by His blood. Now I'm a joiner with Jesus as I travel this side. I'm so glad that I'm a part of family of God. Amen. That I am His. He is mine. Remember the activities of the day. I've got them in one of my pockets, I thought. All right. What did I do with them? I done lost them. Just another announcement that I didn't mention this morning. Those of you that are flying out on Friday, if you will see me today or my wife, make sure that we have your flight numbers and how many people are in your group so that we can get everything coordinated for those return flights on Friday that we get you to the airport. I know last year I got a couple of you there too close to gate time and you missed your flight. So I don't want that to happen again. So we want to make sure that we got everybody's flight schedules. And remember, 1 o'clock is softball game, so stay out of the way of the walkers, and we'll have a good time there. Remember the crafts, and then, of course, Brother Wu wants to remind you that are in the chess tournament. There's already been some great upsets. They had four people they knew was going to be the four finalists, and I see that I think two of them are already knocked out. So those of you that are playing chess, I remember that schedule today. That it's on the wall what time you're supposed to be there for your 15-minute game, and remember those things. If you have crafts that you've done, make sure you pick those up. I don't want to store them, and with your kites, and then As we mentioned earlier, those of you that have been doing the camp trains through the years, if you're missing a car or something, we do have some over there. You can take those and finish them here, or take them home and finish them to complete out your train. This is the last year for trains. The train is leaving the depot, and so I'm not storing them anymore. All right, so thankful for his word. And as we just close this morning, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. You just are so good to us. You've given us everything we need of for the journey. And Lord, this morning, as the word has come forth, Lord, it's our desire that it rests deep in the souls of everyone that's heard it. And Lord, we're thankful that you've provided the technology that they can come back and they can listen to it again and to refresh, Lord, later from it and draw from it again. But Lord, this morning, as it's fell into the soil, Lord, may it bring forth. That there'd be a mighty army rise up, Lord Jesus. Without spot or wrinkle. A bride that you're longing for. Lord, we want to be in that number. It's our desire, Lord. We thank you for what we see you doing in our midst. And Lord, there's so much that you're doing that we don't even see. But Lord, we're just trusting to you. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, bless our activities today, Lord. We thank you for touching these that were not well last night, Lord, and the ones that have went to the ER and had to have medical attention, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. We can just trust in you. We thank you, we praise you, and just ask for your blessings on the remainder of the day today. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. As you go this morning, greet one another as we sing that song again. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. I've been cleansed by his blood. I'm a joint heir with Jesus.